Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I've waited a year and a half to get this show to you today. I am excited to talk to you about your eye. You needed 91 shows, I think. I think you'll agree with me by the end of the show to really understand how I'm going to approach the eye. And as always, I will approach it in a way far deeper than what supplement you take. And don't forget to take your supplements, especially something called Ocuven. It's got all the things you don't get in the soil anymore for the eye, but you know about that and you know where to get it. What you might not understand is how to approach sight, how to approach the health and acuity of your vision as it changes as you age. And really, the physiology behind this is where you can understand how to approach it. Let me explain. We talk about nearsightedness. We talk about cataracts. We talk about macular degeneration. We talk about glaucoma. I'm going to lay out each of those four concerns for you today, from nearsightedness to farsightedness to macular degeneration to glaucoma to the problems that we have with the cataracts, to LASIKs, to glasses, to contact lenses. And I'm going to bring you into the physiology each time. So let's start with what concerns probably most of us at some time during our life, and that is our vision is starting to get shallow. We can't focus on things close to us or far away, nearsightedness or farsightedness. Now, if you've got a connection into the website, if you're on straighttalk.cc, I put pictures to lay out the anatomy and the physiology of the eye today. And those pictures I'm going to use. If you can't get to the computer, but please do if you can. If you can't get to the computer, I'll try to explain as we go along. So let's start with nearsightedness. When light comes through your eye, or when you try to focus, I should say, on an object, focusing on that object means light bounces through the lens of the eye, through the pupil, goes up into the brain through the optic nerve, and bounces back as your image. Now, you have to understand that when that light goes through the lens of the eye, that's that plastic-like material that when you get cataracts, you can't get the light through. But when you have to actually focus on an object, that lens bends. And that bending of the lens allows the light to refract correctly so that you can actually see clearly. Over a period of time, the muscles that pull that lens, and again, if you're on the site, you can see these muscles. They're called the ciliary bodies. These muscles will get too tight or too loose. The tone in those muscles will create a situation where you can't focus clearly on the object. Now, when you wear a pair of glasses, when you put glasses on, or you put contact lenses on, what that prevents you from doing is building those muscles up so that you can focus clearly on the object. This is why, traditionally, in the 7th grade, 8th grade, whenever your sight started to go and you put the glasses on, you ran to the doctor immediately and you had those glasses put on, what you found increasingly over a period of years is that your eyesight would get worse. And the reason is there are muscles in the eye. And when those muscles are not stressed, when they're not exercised, when they're not stretched, and when they're not contracted, the vision then becomes dull. You can't focus anymore. So Glasses are effectively a crutch for nearsightedness. They're the shortcut way out of it. And the person that took advantage of this concept and created a whole new paradigm in it was Dr. Bates. Dr. Bates was an ophthalmologist, and Dr. Bates created the Bates method, whereby when you were nearsighted, you would do a series of exercises. These things are really true. They're not an exaggeration. Nearsightedness is correctable. Farsightedness is correctable. But like everything, you have to do it. And the Bates method was one of the first solutions to this, but you had to understand what the basic concept was behind it. That lens gets stiff. The stiffness in that lens has to do with deposition of nutrient, of bad particles into the lens of the eye, so the lens gets stiff. And of course then, we're branching out from the physical therapy of the eye into understanding that there's a biochemical process, faster in some of us, slower in others. There's a biochemical process that's going to invade the lens of the eye, and it's going to make it less pliable. So whether you're nearsighted or farsighted, in a sense, you're dealing with the same issue. The lens is less flexible. We'll get to the biochemistry of that in a minute, but first you have to understand that the flexibility of the lens is something that you can work with through exercise. Now, today, we have a therapist named Meyer Schneider. You should get on Google and get onto Meyer's website, M-E-I-R-S-C-H-N-E-I-D-E-R. And Meyer Schneider, great self-help story. He was born nearly blind with cataracts and a few other things and opened a school up in San Francisco, operational today, where he teaches people how to do the same thing that he did himself. And of course, this is a derivation of the Bates method. But what Meyer does is he's a massage therapist and he blends in other modalities because, as always, it's never just one thing. So if you're taking your Ocuvine for the eye, for your nearsightedness, and we'll get into that later, you're starting to address the biochemistry behind sight. But there's also a structural issue behind sight, as we just elaborated. The eye effectively is an evolutionary marvel, but it's also problematic. It's, in a sense, a disaster in the way it's placed in the skull. Now, if you're on the website again, in the eye socket, you can actually see that the eye socket, what the eye fits into, is a confluence. It's an intersection of 12 bones. Now, those 12 bones all have joints between them. So you've got your ethmoid, your lacrimal bone, your maxillary bone, your zygomatic bone, your sphenoid bone, your ethmoid bone. You've got so many bones of the skull that all come together and join to create the eye socket. Those bones have joints between them, sutures, cranial sutures. Again, it's that word we're going to get to in a moment, the cranial rhythm of the head, the cranial rhythm of the skull. And when those bones come together to create the socket of the eye, they have to flex correctly. Now, the back of the eye, right? We start in the front where the light comes in through the lens, through the cornea, through the pupil, and then it goes to the back of the eye where the retina is. And the retina is composed of rods and cones, and it picks up these light signals, sends them to the brain through the optic nerve. That retina on the back of the eye, that's what fits against your eye socket. If that eye socket isn't moving correctly, if that eye socket doesn't have the right frequency or tone, again, I'm using words. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, straighttalk.cc. Get on the website to learn so I can get you more deeply into understanding this, the cranial rhythms of the eye, as evidenced by those 12 bones that compose the eye socket, have to flex and extend. Now, this is occurring on a micro level, so you couldn't see it, but you can feel it. Cranial workers people that are versed in craniosacral therapy will put hands on the eye, and they'll determine whether or not the bones of the skull and therefore the bones of the eye socket are vibrating correctly. That's enormously important because the eye has been designed very problematically. It's an evolutionary marvel, yes, but the eye has been designed very problematically. And I could make analogies to other parts of the body, but the eye is probably the best example to point out what the evolutionary disaster of the eye is. It is very small, but very metabolically active. It's very small, but very metabolically active. Now, the problem with a very small tissue that's very metabolically active is that the arteries that supply it, the capillaries that supply it, better not congest. The arteries that supply it better not congest, because if you have a tissue with very small arteries and a very high metabolic demand, you're going to have enormous congestion. Think about that. You've got a very small intersection, a one-lane intersection in the middle of nowhere, and you pump a massive amount of traffic through it. If there's a problem at that intersection, you're going to have a very high failure rate. No other tissue in the body is so susceptible to this issue, because the eye is singularly, not the, but one of the most metabolically active tissues. It wants what it wants, and it wants it now, and it never stops moving. Right? The heart doesn't stop. The eye doesn't stop. Some organs rest. The eye, not really. So when you have, again, deposition or congestion, deposition, another important key word, when you have the precipitation or depositing, meaning deposition, of all sorts of sediment, we'll get into that, into a metabolically active tissue, you're going to have a massive traffic jam. So when you're looking at inflexibility of the lens, when you're looking at glaucoma, when you're looking at macular degeneration, when you're looking at nearsightedness, these are deposition illnesses. Yes, think about what herb you need to take, from lutein to bilberry to the entire slew of nutrients for the eye. Yes, important. However, you have to understand the vital significance here of keeping everything above your neck in a state of optimal perfusion and optimal drainage. If you can't drain fast enough out of the retina, if you can't drain fast enough out of the lens, if you can't drain fast enough out of the vitreous, if you can't drain fast enough out of the cornea, if every single organelle, every single component of the eye that's excreting its poisons, that's receiving its blood, its oxygen, and excreting sediment, or the buildup of natural sediment in these tissues, if it cannot perfuse in and drain out at a high optimal speed, the eye is extremely vulnerable. You can afford to do it in the lung. You can afford to do it in the heart. You can afford to do it perhaps in the thyroid. You can afford to do it in the intestines. You can't afford to do it in the eye. Simple analogy. Why is ovarian cancer so much higher than testicular cancer? Think about that. It is purely on a structural reason that ovarian cancer is so much higher than testicular cancer. The ovaries are stuffed into the lower abdomen. They are extremely susceptible to displacement and compression. The testicles are in a very different situation. The testicles are external, wagging, getting what? Motion. Where a man doesn't get testicular cancer, and a woman gets ovarian cancer, a man will get prostate cancer. Why? The prostate will suffer from the same problem as the ovary. It's got a structural stasis built into it because of its location. And this is the problem with the eye. You have a very highly metabolically active tissue. You have very tiny arteries and capillaries going in, very tiny veins draining the eye, and it's locked into this socket. And this socket, your cranium, is a confluence of 12 bones. So the possibility for structural defect up in the cranium, to have the cranial rhythms go off, is enormous. You see this all the time. This is why some of us look to problems of glaucoma, problems of detached retinas, problems in cataracts, as what? As the reflex we call the interference field. What that interference field really means is different types of traumas. All the head traumas, all the plastic surgeries, all the postural distortions where the head is brought anteriorly to the body shuts down the cranial flow. And if you're new to the show, check some of those shows out on what I mean by the cranial rhythm. The rapid expansion and contraction on the micro level of the cranial bones, keeping the brain pumped with physical intelligence so it knows how to dish out its commands and heal the body. So, our biochemical eye is a concern, but our structural eye in the eye socket is where the eye is particularly vulnerable. The eye in general, of course, is a marvel. Couple of facts. Light through the pupil must occur. This is where we have a tradition of the sun gazers. Different cultures honored the sun. And as the sun rose in the morning, just the morning sun at the horizon, people would train themselves to drink the light. Some of you know this in your experience. You haven't worked out the whole winter because it was too cold, and spring comes and you're out there on the track and you take your shirt off because it's a warm day in spring, a day perhaps like today. And you feel your body drinking the sun. In the early morning, your pupil will drink the light of the sun. The reason that's critical is because that light goes through the pupil of the eye into the brain, and that's what stimulates the pineal gland to stay in balance. The rhythms of the body, controlled by the pineal gland, one of the high glandular centers of the body. You've got pineal, hypothalamus, pituitary. Very related to that natural act of drinking sun through the pupil, but not if you wear sunglasses all day long. But not if you have LASIK done. But not if you have contact lenses on. Anything that blocks the pupil of the eye, like the contact lens, guess what? When you have cataract surgeries, doctors replace the cornea, the lens of the eye, with a synthetic that blocks the UV light. It's the ultraviolet light through the pupil of the eye as it passes through the lens of the eye that feeds the pineal gland of the brain. So when you get your cataracts done, if you have to do that, make sure your ophthalmologist and make sure your eye surgeon know that they have to replace the lens with a lens that allows natural sunlight to come in, both UVs to come into the eye. Fear light from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Then you have a concern. In all reality, for your skin, don't be staring at the sun, of course. That's common sense. But the early morning light through the pupil of the eye is critical. If you get cataract surgery, make sure those lenses, those artificial lenses, are amended by your eye surgeon to allow UV light. Now, contacts. Yeah, contacts are bad. Contacts block UV light. And I don't know if anybody's making on the market contacts that don't. LASIKs. LASIKs is another, it's not what you'd think, in that what LASIKs does, if you talk to anyone versed in cranial work that understands what the vibration of the skull is that really feeds the brain, LASIKs completely alters that, and not in a good way. Again, you know, your choices are cost-benefit. But if you work in these fields and you're sensitive to the cranial rhythms, again, most people don't know they exist. You do because you're informed. But you see all sorts of funny things happen when people have eye issues, even subtle eye issues. And the point is that there's a certain way that light was supposed to be made to come through the eye. And when we tamper with that, we throw off vibrations up in the hypothalamus, the pituitary, the pineal. We have entire fields. Osteopathic medicine devoted itself, at least originally, almost entirely to understanding how things like this can change. So here we have this eye, the window to the soul, as they say. Yes, in certain types of medicine, you read the soul through the eye. You can tell a crazy person. You can tell a sad person. You can tell a lonely person. You can tell someone that's not telling you the truth. We call that intuition. Well, it is intuition. Intuition gives us intelligences that the analytic mind doesn't have. And we use the eye in medicine. We use the eye in daily experience to determine what is really emanating from the body. The eye are really the fingers of the brain. The eye is nerve tissue. The eye is the one place where nerve tissue reaches the external environment. That's brain, optic nerve, and the eyeball. We use the eye to see into the psyche of the person. But the eye itself, the physical eye, can tell us many things. We'll talk about iridology later. Are the eyes dry? Are the eyes itchy? Are the eyes bloodshot? Do you have eye pain? Do you have yellow eyes? Do your eyes tend to pop out? Dry eyes invariably reflect a reflex that I don't know if we really understand the physiology behind. But in clinical practice, dry eyes are a reflex off a dry liver. Now, what we mean by a dry liver is two things. One, the bile doesn't flow. And number two, the body's starving of nutrient. This is where Chinese medicine is extremely useful in helping people with dry eyes and helping people with blurry vision, helping people with dry, hot eyes, eyes that burn. Because what those symptoms reflect is that the blood is deficient in nutrient. When the blood is deficient in nutrient, and where's most of the nutrition in the body stored? In the liver. So there's part of the physiological hookup, that if you've got dry eyes, okay, burning eyes, you're dealing with a reflex off the liver. And we know that the liver reflexes to the eye. So if someone's got dry eyes, we clean the gallbladder to get the bile flowing. We get the liver gallbladder system open. Along with that, we nutrify the person's blood. We feed them more good food, more good herbs, to build up what we call the blood of the liver, because the liver stores so much of the body's nutrition. And as you build the liver, and as you let the flow of bile through the liver, almost invariably, you will see dry eyes go away. You will see painful burning eyes go away. You'll see that happen quickly. What about yellow eyes? Well, if you look in the sclera, now we're talking about the white of the eye. We've got the white of the eye. We've got the colored part of the eye called the iris. But if you look at the sclera and you see white in the eye and you see yellow plaques of fat in the eye, that's actually cholesterol that's being pushed out of circulation and depositing into the sclera of the eye. Now, I'm going to make a big thing out of that because it's one of the examples of deposition illness in the eye. Every problem of the eye is a problem of deposition of sediment and the inability to drain it fast enough in relation to its deposition. So deposition and drainage. It's just like the rug in the house. You deposit sediment on the rug, and then you come in with a vacuum cleaner and you clean the rug. If you stop vacuuming the rug, the sediment builds up, the stains are tougher to get out, and finally the rug is destroyed. Why is this so complicated? It isn't. It isn't if you take the time. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health, straighttalk.cc. Not .com, straighttalk.cc. Please get to the computer. I've got six wonderful pictures today that I'm making reference to, trying to teach off the computer. Again, the show is archived, so you can pick it up, all 92 shows now, anytime. I've got my class tomorrow. I've got another class next Sunday. We're starting a third class down in Costa Mesa. And again, the theme of the show, supplements are important. Use them. But if you really understand the fundamentals, you'll really learn how to use the supplement. So let's get back to it now. Deposition and drainage. When the fat in the blood, when the cholesterol builds up to too high a level, we begin to get plaques in the eye. Yellow, fatty plaques. Ophthalmology calls those a pinguecula, P-I-N-G-U-E-C-U-L-A, pinguecula. It's different than a pterygium. Pterygium is that white blob that covers the iris of the eye. A pinguecula is this yellow thing. Look in the sclera of your eye. Some of you will see pinguecules. And if you do, that means your body's depositing fat in a way you don't want it to. Clean the gallbladder, you get rid of pinguecules. Bring your cholesterol down, you get rid of pinguecules. Pinguecula, again, great example of deposition, overcoming drainage. Now let's talk about glaucoma. Age-related glaucoma. Acute angle glaucoma, the type that comes on rapidly, your optic pressures. So behind the eye are fluids. Those fluids are secreted by parts of the eye, and those fluids are supposed to be there. When the fluids build up faster than they drain, it will start to create compression on the optic nerve. That pressure in the eye will start to distort vision in the eye. So the buildup of optic pressures, which your ophthalmologist is measuring, is fluid-related. That's what's creating the pressure. And if those fluids press too much, too long, it will destroy the optic nerve, and you'll go blind. It will destroy parts of the eye, and you'll go blind. These optic pressures can shoot up overnight. That's called acute angle. Or a closed angle, which occurs gradually. Most people have the chronic type that's age-related that occurs over time. And this is my point. What is occurring over time? What's occurring over time is the buildup of sediment in the drainage ports. Metabolites of calcium, calcium oxalate, calcium hydroxyapatite. Venous blood that's just too thick. All the things that run through the venous and arterial system that shouldn't be there, that are beginning to precipitate out of insoluble forms, out of soluble forms, to insoluble forms. So again, just like that pinguecula, that fatty plaque that's depositing in the sclera of the eye, we have far more serious problems, as in glaucoma, based on the same principle. And when we have metabolites of calcium, hydroxyapatite, oxalate, all forms of sediment that should be drained out, but the blood is too thick. Or the cranial rhythms do not work. Or the cranial rhythms are depressed due to head traumas. Or the bite is off, which will infect the cranial rhythms. And so on and so forth. You start to get a faster rate of deposition, precipitation of sediment into these canals. And so the canals don't drain. And the optic pressures creep up. Very often we see, when people take care of the body, we see the optic pressures drop. There shouldn't be any age-related glaucoma. Again, you're not going to get away with this with a supplement. Again, my point. Again, you've got to bring yourself to an understanding of how disease, the pathogenesis, the evolution of disease in the body, specific to each person, yes, is somewhat genetic, yes, is largely multifactorial. And the difference between you and your brother and your friend down the street is the compilation of those factors. You can't afford to be talking about health of the eye nor health of anything and looking for the it. The it is a myth. The it is the shortcut. We criticize pharmacology and allopathy for looking at the it. We in holistic medicine are looking for the it all too often. So bring your supplement in. Those herbs are wonderful. But you have to understand concepts like this, specific to yourself. So deposition and drainage. The cataract. More people have the cataract issue. More people have concern about the cataract. I took an article, and I put a couple of pages of that article on the website. It's from The Pathogenesis of Cataracts by Samuel Ziegler Jr. and Manuel Detiles III. They're either scientists or medical doctors. Again, it's on the website. This is from Volume 1, Chapter 72B. I love to do this kind of thing. I'm sure you may not share my love of this, but you see, this is where holistic medicine proves itself. And if you go onto the website, and please do, if not now, then later, you're going to see two pages, and I've outlined the important parts of these pages, or get the whole article, because it talks about cataracts in a way you cannot afford to miss. It takes the cataract, and it talks about the cataract on the level of two types. One is called a cortical cataract, and the other is called a nuclear cataract. And it says, and I'm quoting right here from the article, that electrolyte imbalances, this is in regard to a cortical cataract, why you form or people form cataracts. The electrolyte imbalances likely arise as a result of damage to the lens cell membranes. In cortical cataracts, potassium levels decrease, whereas sodium, chlorine, and calcium increase, with the resulting imbalance leading to an influx of water. And there, locked in the middle of a scientific document, is a big statement. It's a statement that applies to really one of the fundamental laws in holistic health. That when you have potassium in a tissue, in an avascular tissue, and again, the lens of the eye, which becomes cloudy, and that's the cataract, the lens of the eye, that is not a vascular tissue. There's not a blood supply to the lens of the eye. When you don't have a blood supply and you start staining an area, when you develop an imbalance in a tissue that doesn't get blood, you have a much tougher stain. You have to understand, this is why cataracts resist holistic medicine. But here it is saying in this article that when the potassium levels decrease and sodium, chloride, and calcium increase, what do you think pH imbalance is? pH imbalance is when potassium decreases. pH imbalance is when the wrong kind of calcium increases. Hydroxyapatite, calcium oxalate, calcium sediment, sodium, inorganic sodium from garbage food. This is what drives pH imbalance. The article's really saying that pH, which is driven by this imbalance between good potassium, harmful metabolites of calcium, harmful types of sodium, create enough of an imbalance to create deposition into the lens. That's fascinating. If you're listening to this show, you have to be fascinated. You have to get my point right now. Because while you're just taking your supplements and thinking that cataract's going to go away, there are processes which supplements can help that you've got to understand. Or what you bring into the focal concerns of the eye isn't going to be enough to fix it. That's really the essence of how you approach the health of anything, in this case the eye, holistically. And there it is in a medical article. Get on the website, straighttalk.cc, and just read this. Now that's one driver of the cataract. That's one form of a developing cataract. The other one is the nuclear cataract. And they talk about the accumulation and modification of protein, which of course is what the lens is made of. It's going to have a protein base to it, but when the proteins oxidize because of free radical attack, the proteins get sticky. They begin to aggregate. Again, this is the nuclear cataract. There's one called a cortical cataract, which is electrolyte imbalance. But a nuclear cataract is not an electrolyte imbalance. It's when the proteins get sticky in the lens. Cataracts are combinations of these things. Here's another brilliant illustration of the reality of the health of anything. It's not one thing. The article is effectively stating, out of a medical journal, is effectively stating that when you look at a cataract, it's a balance. It's a combination of biochemical entities that are all coming together to defect and break down a tissue. And in the case of the nuclear cataract, it's oxidation from free radical damage to the protein part of the lens of the eye that makes the proteins sticky. That's why they start turning white. The opaqueness, the whitishness in a cataract, which diffracts the light incorrectly, that whitishness is a combination of free radical damage to the tissue. So yeah, you need the specific nutrients to the eye. Sure you do. But yeah, you've got to get your osmotic balances correct, meaning you've got to move your pHs. But yeah, what's the balance of free radical attack to the antioxidants? That red substance they extract out of salmon. It's xanthine, something like this. People are told to eat salmon, wild salmon, because we've got this chemical in there. It's the perfect antioxidant for the eye. You bet, from Ocuvin or Eye Complex to eating wild salmon and lots of it, clean wild salmon, are you going to deliver what? Antioxidants specific to the eye. Critical. But what about reversing the deposition of the calcium particles? That has nothing to do with what the free radical damage is about. That has more to do with how you eat and how you keep your pH. So if the innocent consumer is taking the supplement from the extract from the salmon to Ocuvin to anything to help neutrophy the eye and protect it, if their pH is still acidic, they're not going to heal it. Now, you can apply this to every single issue within the eye. You may have a structural issue because the cranial rhythm is off. You may have too much free radical damage driving it. You may have nutritional deficiency driving it. So if we look at cataracts, we look at glaucoma, we look at nearsightedness or farsightedness, we're dealing with most fundamentally the same sorts of issues. Deposition of the bad stuff, a problem with drainage of the good stuff, and sometimes a shortage of protective nutrient into the tissue. That's how you have to approach issues in your body. Now, on the website, I have a picture of the macula of the eye, M-A-C-U-L-A, the macula of the eye. The macula is a place on the retina, which is in the back of the eye, that focuses the light. And we have a concern with macular degeneration. Age-related is what I'm going to deal with now. Age-related macular degeneration. And what effectively happens is the arteries that deliver nutrient to the macula begin to inflame. And as they inflame the little capillaries, really, or the micro arteries, those little capillaries off the arteries, as they begin to inflame, they leak. Another concept now. When you have a vascular inflammatory issue, which is what inflammation is, anything bad in the body, you name it, whatever it is, it's going to create a low-grade inflammation that's going to begin to expand the arterial capillary system and leak water and leak what's in the capillary outside the right spaces. And when this happens in the macula, you begin to destroy the macula. You get macular degeneration. One of the classic results of type 2 diabetes is macular degeneration. Here's a perfect example. And what's driving the degeneration of the macula, of course, is the high blood sugar. High blood sugar is a poison to the eye. High insulin is a poison to the eye. It's a poison to every part of your body. They're pro-inflammatory chemicals. So one big driver of age-related macular degeneration is the production of pro-inflammatory chemicals from insulin spikes and high blood sugar. But it doesn't have to be. It can be inflammation because you're not draining the natural poisons of your eye out into your lymphatic system. It can be inflammation because you're eating too much garbage. It can be hundreds of causes, which means then that you have to look at inflammation as one of the indices through which you determine your level of health. And we're trying to come up in heart chemistry with things to measure in the body, just like we're trying to come up with different ways to measure intracellular glutathione. And I'm going to quote now from this article. It's another fascinating little statement. The show I did on heavy metals a number of months ago, all right, talked about different labs where you can measure your intracellular glutathione. I've been looking for these labs to see which are user-friendly to the public, and I can tell you we're in a state of evolution. But look at this quote, and you'll appreciate it if you see it yourself, so please do. Glutathione, the major low molecular weight thiol, means it's got sulfur in it, compound in the lens, is markedly decreased in human cataracts and in almost all experimental cataracts studied. Let me repeat that. Glutathione, the major low molecular weight thiol, which is a sulfur-based compound, in the lens, is markedly decreased in human cataracts. Glutathione is really the... Glutathione is the bullet that the cell uses to destroy the free radical. You're going to need your CoQ10. You're going to need your lipoic acid. These are all indices, vitamin C, vitamin E. These are all antioxidants that effectively produce the bullet. And the bullet is the glutathione. So if we were to measure, really, systemically speaking, what the body's intracellular glutathione was, or at least measure it in the blood so we can infer it in the cell, again, we have another marker driving what, once again, we can see is actually happening in the pathogenesis of disease, in this case, the cataract. This all has a direct functional relationship to what you do in your life about your health. You've just got to take that leap with me. You've got to understand what's behind the things you have to do that cost you time, energy, and money in the name of compliance, from the Bates exercises to going up to San Francisco to Mayer's Clinic if you've got eye issues, to understanding why you should take the herbs, to understanding the cranial rhythms, so on and so forth. Wonderful examples here of how really to look at the health of the eye. So we talked about itchy eyes. We talked about dry eyes. We talked about headaches behind the eyes, yellow eyes. Here's something, a little thing you'll look at with people. Sanpuku eyes, S-A-N-P-U-K-U. This was a term described by Michio Kushi. And Michio Kushi was the Japanese founder of macrobiotics, or one of the main propagators of it. John F. Kennedy had sanpuku eyes. It means when you look at a person's eye and you look at the iris, the colored part of the eye, there's a little bit of white above it and a little bit of white below it. If you look at someone's eye, the colored part, the iris, there's a little bit of white in the sclera above it and a little bit of white in the sclera below it. Sanpuku eyes are eyes by somebody whose health is compromised. Because in a sanpuku eye, you're going to see too much white below the colored part of the eye. So we're going to play Sherlock Holmes for a few minutes. We're going to think about the eye and sun through the pupil of the eye, without cataracts, without contact lenses, without Lasix, without glasses. In the morning sun, coming through the lens and the pupil of the eye into the pineal of the brain. We're going to think about sitting at our desk with just natural sunlight, or in the evening with as much as soft yellow light, or candlelight, if possible. We're going to think about the eyes as windows of the soul. We're going to think about red eyes, meaning deoxygenated eyes, meaning the pH is off. Dry eyes, meaning the liver is blood deficient, meaning the liver is blocked through the bile system. We're going to think of eye pain, pain or headaches behind the eyes as a direct reflex off the liver. We're going to think of yellow eyes, again, as a buildup of bile in the blood. Yellow eyes are called jaundice. Jaundice just means the red blood cells, which are supposed to get sucked out by the liver and thrown into the stool, are not being taken out of the blood. They're dissolving in the blood because the liver is blocked by something. And when that happens, the color of the skin changes to yellow, and you can see the yellowish or the jaundice in the sclera of the eyes. We're going to talk about sanpuku eyes. Fat in the eye, like pinguiculus. We're going to get to iridology. Now, at my office in Costa Mesa, I have an iridology machine. We take a picture of the eye, and we throw it up on a computer screen, and we analyze it. Iridology, well, technically, iridology has been around thousands of years, but in the Western world, we credit Hungarian medical doctor von Paisley as the founder of iridology in about the early 1800s. In my office in Costa Mesa, we take a picture of the eye, and off the eye, we can learn many, many things. And we call this iridology. The Europeans studied it. The Americans studied it. I brought this up last week. If you look at an eye and you see around the iris of the eye, you see a whitish sort of a circle. That's called an arcus senilis. When you see an arcus senilis around the iris of an eye, chances are very high that that person's arterial system is depositing some form of plaque, calcium plaque, fatty plaque. You see this almost all the time in heart disease. If you look around the iris of that eye and you see a shade or a tinge of blue, around the iris of that eye. That's venous stasis. That means that the blood is too thick in the body. You can't drain it out. And that's huge. If you look at the eye and you see that the eye has all sorts of dark brown spots in it, a brown spotted eye, that tells you that that person is going to have severe tendencies towards hormonal imbalances. And again, what do we mean by hormonal imbalances? This word is used too often without any real understanding of what it really means. Understand, just on the basis of your steroidal hormones, DHEA, pregnenolone, progesterone, estrogen, testosterone, cortisol, aldosterone, all these steroidal, cholesterol-based hormones in the body have to be in a certain balance. It is the hypothalamus and the pituitary and the pineal in a feedback cycle with your other glands, adrenals, testes, ovaries, etc., that keep these hormones in balance. Meaning in every microsecond of your life, each of these chemicals should be there in a certain amount, and that amount is in constant dynamic flux. We will never catch up to the ingenuity of the body on this level. We will never catch up. If in any given moment the balance of these hormones is off, it is the job of the liver. As the blood flushes through the liver, it is the job of the liver to take these hormones and cleave them, cut them down and build them up. Take what you have too much of and destroy it, or take it apart and use part of it to rebuild what you need and have less of. That is one of the functions of the liver. And when the blood is moving through the liver too slowly, meaning you have slow perfusion, and when the blood is draining from the heart too slowly, meaning you have venous stasis, bluishness around the iris of the eye, bluishness of the veins under the tongue, a PPP, a coagulation variable in the blood that's too low. When you have any signs of hypercoagulability of tissues, of blood, it's going to mean that the liver is not draining fast enough. And that's going to mean that you can't, what? Balance your hormones or do any of the liver functions fast enough. So when you see brown spots in a person's eye, it tells you they're going to have real problems balancing hormone. And 9 times out of 10, these people have extremely thick blood. And we can go on and on and on and on. And we will, but probably next week, because I only have a few minutes left. But look at this. The eye, the ear, the hand, the blood. What is health, holistic health, beginning to look like to you? The show I did last week, trying to give you a framework around which a doctor, around which you, in your individual search for health, should begin to look at your remedies. More comprehensive, but it's driven by your common sense. And here we see it once again in the eye. Basic fundamentals that you've got to adhere to. And basic diagnostic or investigative. It's a Sherlock Holmes puzzle where we're using all sorts of things that we can see, feel, touch, smell in the body. Physical signs and clinical symptoms that we relate to the body's physiology to give you a profile of you, and then we relate it specifically to the organ of your concern. And that's what health is. And that's why I frame these shows the way I do, because too large is the gap between the way you, the public, understand how to approach your health and I, the practitioner, understand how you heal. That gap is too big. That's why I created my schools, and my schools are working, and my schools are delivering. I have people in my classes, some of whom I'll platform tomorrow and endorse, that have learned certain principles, that have experienced them in their bodies, from the opening of the breath to the real shifts in the pH, to the shifts in the alignment, to the shifts in the psyche, to all these critical moments along a healing path done in unison, in group with other people under supervision. And not about disease, about health. All this talk about disease is really a step towards health. And that's what you see when you watch people celebrate these gains. You see an enthusiasm about health and not a focus on the symptom anymore. Fascinating. The eyes are the windows to the soul. They can be blue, they can be green, they can be brown. Blue-eyed people tend to have stasis in the lymph. Brown-eyed people tend to have blood dyscrasias. Green-eyed people tend to have biliary congestion. Even the color of the eye. Basically, the eye should be blue. When the eye goes brown, we've seen in documented case studies people cleansing and cleaning over decades, and the brown of the eye begins to turn blue. I kid you not, I've seen it. Truly, the eyes are the windows to the soul. Have a good week. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.